Hello, and welcome to the Live and Teach Guitar Podcast, Episode 12. This is a podcast for guitar teachers wanting to start or grow their guitar teaching business. Now, in this episode, I'm going to give you a few different ideas you can try out in your lessons. If you're stuck with a student and need a way to give the student something fresh to try out, these ideas are worth looking into. My goal with this episode is to help you think of fresh ways to cover topics in your lessons that you may not have considered before. The first idea makes use of one of my favorite tools to use as a guitar teacher, which is a looper pedal. There are so many different looper pedals available today, from basic pedals such as the Ditto by TC Electronic, all the way to the huge and feature-filled loopers such as the RC300 by Boss. While looper pedals were mainly designed to be used for jamming or live situations, they make excellent teaching tools. Being able to instantly record and play back your students playing is a fantastic ability that I believe every guitar teacher should make use of. The reason why looper pedals are such effective teaching tools is because they allow your student to receive constant feedback on their development. Remember that learning is all about feedback, so any tool that assists in providing feedback for your student is something you should seriously consider. I'll mention here a couple ways you can use a looper pedal in your lessons, but I highly recommend reading through the teaching guide TTL04 on our website, as it gives you the best practices collected from other guitar teachers. Now, the simplest way to use a looper is to record yourself playing a lick or riff that the student needs to practice. Simply loop the riff at a slow tempo, then ask the student to try and play in time with the loop. The reason why this is more effective than the student playing along with you is that the looper will give the student a rock-solid tempo that doesn't change at all. Whereas when you play along with the student, you will subtly increase or decrease the tempo to try and match the student's playing, whether you realize it or not. It doesn't sound like much of a difference, but from a feedback point of view, it's huge. The rigidity of the looper will point out any mistakes the student makes, which means the student will be able to overcome the problem sooner. Whereas when they play along with you, you will essentially cover up many of their mistakes as you adjust your playing to match the student. So if you currently play along with your student when trying to work on riffs or licks, use a looper instead. It allows your student to focus solely on their playing rather than thinking about how they're playing along with you. Another really useful way to use a looper is to quickly come up with simple backing tracks for your student to jam over. For example, let's say you want to teach your student how to improvise using modes. With the looper, you can simply record a basic rhythm using, say, a C power chord and loop it. Then ask the student to start improvising using C Ionian. Then after a while, ask the student to switch to C Dorian, then Phrygian, and go through all the modes based on C to allow the student to hear the subtle differences after changing between each one. Then you can simply change the loop to a more complicated rhythm or to a different chord so the student can hear how certain modes will sound better over certain chords. The point is that the looper gives you flexibility to focus on certain aspects of the topic you want to focus on. As another example, maybe you want to introduce your student to jazz. You can simply record a 2-5-1 progression on the looper, and now you have an easy jazz backing to explain how to improvise over. The looper effectively frees you up to talk about improvising instead of needing to be the backing player for your student. So now you're free to demonstrate how to improvise over the chords without needing to have pre-prepared backing tracks. Then when you want to change key, you simply record a new loop. It gives you so much flexibility and it's really quick. Hopefully these two simple examples show you how the looper can add to the quality of your lessons without distracting from the topics. Check out the guide TTL04 for more ways you can use a looper not covered here. I highly recommend every guitar teacher get a looper because they're extremely flexible teaching tools. If you're on a tight budget, something like the Ditto is very cheap but still gives you plenty of flexibility. The next idea for your lessons is to teach your student how to improvise and write licks using something called the Memphis scale. Now, if you haven't heard of the Memphis scale before, that's because it's not actually a scale. It's a nickname for a way of playing. A lot of guitarists use this idea, such as Mark Knopfler, and you can hear it in a lot of his songs. The basic idea is that you play a normal major scale, but limit yourself to two strings, such as the D and B strings. You could use adjacent strings, but it's more useful when you skip a string. This structure stops a player from simply running up and down a scale like what most beginners do when they first learn the pentatonic scale. The two-string restriction will actually help your student think about improvising in a new way, or it will help experienced players break out of linear playing. The other aspect of the Menthe scale is to try and base your playing around sixth intervals. The easiest way to understand this is to check out our lesson plan INT07, which gives you musical examples of this in action, as well as a fretboard diagram explaining the different shapes the student can use. The student can use double stops, or they can simply think about the different shapes they can form with the notes across the two strings. I've found that students really enjoy using the Menthe scale, because once they understand the conditions I've mentioned, they find it really easy to come with something that actually sounds like music. They don't feel like they're just playing random notes out of a scale like they tend to when they're playing pentatonic shapes. Instead, they feel like they're playing music. If you haven't tried this approach before, give it a go because it's such a big difference compared to using pentatonic box shapes. It's a great way to break students out of linear thinking, and it's ridiculously easy for them to come up with melodic licks. Even if your student doesn't like the style of music usually associated with the Menthe scale, they'll enjoy playing around with it. Download the lesson plan INT07 for more information on the scale, and it includes a teacher's guide which explains how to give a lesson based around the scale. Also, if you haven't used the Menthe scale before, it's worth checking out because it's great fun to play. Okay, so the next idea I want to give you will help your student understand different instruments as well as giving them excellent ear training. The idea is to ask your student to work out by ear how to play a riff, lick, or progression played on a different instrument and then play it on guitar. So for example, you could load a song that has a violin or saxophone lead and ask the student to work out how to play that lead on guitar. Or you could take a piano piece such as Für Elise by Beethoven and ask the student how to play it on guitar by ear. Obviously, it's quite a bit of a challenge and isn't suitable for beginners, unless you're looking into something like nursery rhymes. It can be challenging enough for a student to listen to a guitar part, then figure that out by ear. But listening to a completely different instrument is an extra challenge guitar students just aren't used to. I recommend starting with instruments that tend to only play one note at a time, such as violin, flute, saxophone, or even a monophonic synth. It will make it much easier for your student to figure out the notes if there's only one note at a time, so you won't waste time in your lessons as a student struggles to figure out the notes. Once your student figures out the notes, ask them to try and make their guitar emulate the other instrument. So for example, if the original part was played on a violin, ask the student to try and match the style of playing using volume swells, vibrato, or legato. It's a tough challenge, but the benefit is that it will teach your student to think about different instruments, their limitations, or even the guitar's limitations. It will also help them think about phrasing, as there's a big difference between playing the right notes and how those notes should sound. After the student can easily figure out monophonic instruments, try something like a full piano solo. This is a huge challenge, as your student will need to figure out the chords being used, as well as how to figure out how to play the chords and the melody at the same time. Obviously, the student is limited to 6 strings, so they won't be able to completely copy a lot of piano pieces. It's a great challenge and worthwhile exercise from an ear training point of view. It also gives you the opportunity to talk about chord inversions and how to play both chords and melody at the same time. I also recommend asking a student to try and figure out vocal lines and emulate them on guitar. The voice is so expressive, so it's a great way to teach a student to really make the most out of every note they play. Teach a student to control vibrato, bends, slides, and tremolo dips to match the way a vocalist will move between notes. You can even use a wah pedal to emulate a vocal sound, but the main goal is to really get each note to speak on guitar. Students often find vocal parts the most difficult to figure out due to the way the most singers move between the notes. Unlike a piano, which doesn't waver in pitch, a vocalist can easily glide between different pitches, which makes it really hard to figure out on guitar. Your student will definitely benefit from the hard work involved in copying vocal melodies. Start with simple vocal lines, then move to more complicated and expressive songs. If your student is up for a big challenge, consider looking at something like opera and practice really wide vibrato. Your student may not like the style, but it makes an excellent challenge. I highly recommend you try out each of the 3 ideas I've presented in this episode, as each one can give your student something you definitely won't find in typical method books. If you haven't used the looper pedal before, you'll be surprised how useful they are as teaching tools. On the webpage for this episode, I've provided links to relevant resources to help you put into practice the ideas covered here. The guides go into far more detail, so if you're not sure how to get started with the Menthe scale, or you want to find out which looper pedal suits you the best, go to liveteachguitar.com/podcast/episode-12. If you try out any of the ideas covered here, let me know how you go by sending me some feedback using the contact form on the webpage. I'll share more ideas like these in future episodes, because ideas like these will help you break out of your normal routine and give your students fresh perspective on different topics. This has been a really short podcast episode, but it should give you plenty to try out in your lessons. I hope you enjoy using the ideas as much as my students do, and I'll talk to you next time with some new ideas to try out.